Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
All right, amidst all of this, the NHL draft lottery is tonight, 6:30 Eastern, here on ESPN. And the app, that'll be followed by Game 2, Hurricanes Rangers, and Game 1, Avalanche and Stars. What a night. Coverage begins with the point, 6 Eastern, on ESPN2. And you know what? When you're a little kid and you go to talk show host school, this is the day you dream about. We are on Get Up. We are live from the Seaport. We're brought to you by Chase. Wendy was in the garden last night. Jay, Will, and Legs are here all morning long. And the drama, the controversy, the madness at Madison Square takes center stage. Oh, what a finish to this one. Jalen Brunson was brilliant for the Knicks. Tyrese Halliburton, not so much for the Pacers. Let me show you a couple of spectacular moments. Legs, how about Obi Toppin right here?
Seen him miss this one earlier in the year. Talk about nerve in a playoff game on a breakaway, but Obi Toppin's got that kind of up.
Yeah, the former Knick heard the boos all night long, and then Jay, Will, how about this one from Neesmith over Mitchell Robinson?
This is where Indiana kept attacking those gaps, and Neesmith with a strong finish over Robinson got bumped on that play as well.
But now let's go to the fabulous finish. 4 minutes left. The Knicks are down by 5. Brunson was unbelievable last night. It's a 2-point game. 3 minutes left. Halliburton, bad pass. OG Anunoby the other way.
Just a strong finish. I mean, look. This is what New York wants to do. Starberry, stand up.
Next Knicks possession, Brunson. Goodness, he was spectacular. Knicks a 4-point lead. Brunson had 43. 2 minutes left. Knicks are up by 2. Josh Hart, the turnover. We're going the other way. It's going to be Pascal Siakam and Legs. The game is tied.
It is. One of the few times that someone else initiated offense and they turned the ball over.
Next Pacer possession. It's Nembhard.
Big finish.
Pacers are up by 2. Knicks ball now. Same score. Brunson. Spin move.
He just kept knocking Nembhard off the spot.
And Nembhard didn't get vertical again to contest that shot.
Here's the controversy now. DiVincenzo, no call on the screen, but there is a call for a kick. And we'll look at it again. The ball is clearly not kicked by Neesmith. It is not a reviewable play, so it's a bad call. And it's a big deal because it leads to this.
Brunson with a ball in his hands. Sitting on 40. Kicks it, DiVincenzo, three-pointer. DiVincenzo puts the Knicks up 3.
Brian Anderson, the call on TNT. So it's a 3-point game. Now 15 seconds left after you see that one again. Pacers are down by 1. Here's the moment they're going to talk about forever. Miles Turner. They call that an offensive foul. The two players at my desk just literally both collapsed in dismay. This is how the end of the game takes place. The Pacers never get a chance to take a shot that might have won it. Again, down by 1 with 15 seconds left. That's the call at the finish. Knicks take game 1. Rick Carlisle after.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about the officiating. We're not expecting to get calls in here. You know, it'd be nice if they laid off that one, but they didn't. So, you know, that's just the way it goes.
Okay, there's a lot to unpack here, folks. So, Wendy, you were there last night. We'll get to you in a minute. But, Legs, I want to start with you. I mean, that call, that specific call, the offensive screen there in that moment of the game, your reaction?
I thought it was one of the worst illegal screen calls I've ever seen. In literally 10 years in the league, 23 years doing this and breaking down playoff games every single postseason. We talk about the moment and the spot. Yeah, obviously, this is potentially a game-winning opportunity for the Pacers. But that aside, just the actual mechanics of the screen and how little contact there really is to the extent that DiVincenzo sold that. I can't believe he actually took that risk to try to sell out to that extent because of what you were exposing yourself to if that's not called. Miles Turner's either got a wide open slip or a wide open 3. They're playing 5-on-4 for a second while DiVincenzo tries to get back to his feet with the game on the line. That is a pretty risky move on DiVincenzo's part, but give him credit because it paid off. They bought it.
Indiana got robbed. We got robbed of one of the best moments and one of the most exciting games that we've seen throughout the playoffs last night. That's the reality. I mean, that screen happens so many times throughout the course of a game. And as Legs brought up in hour one, the screen literally prior to the possession before that, that Machenzo has both arms up. It is moving. And they didn't call that a moving screen, but they called Miles Turner at that critical possession of the game a moving screen. It makes no sense.
Yeah.
I think it was an embarrassment for the league.
Will and Eric, if we could get that one, because I think it does factor into this. It, within the final minute of that game, on the play that is the kick ball that wasn't, is called, and that's not reviewable. You'll see it again from a different angle. DiVincenzo sets a screen that is illegal in so many more ways. So you're not getting it on this angle here, but you will get it on the next one that we show. Watch him here.
Look at that. And he's moving.
I mean, there's like three different illegal things he does on that play. And both of these things, both those plays took place in the final minute of regulation of this game. And you see which one was called and wasn't. And again, on this play, we're focusing in because they call a kick ball on that, which clearly isn't. That's not reviewable. That's just unfortunate. That's an honest mistake.
Right.
But the judgment to call one of those and not call the other is very tough to take.
I just want to say, Greeny, that referees are there to facilitate the game. But unless it's egregious coming down the stretch, let the players determine the outcome. That's all you ask for from a player perspective.
So, Wendy, you were there. And again, covering the series for us from both sides. You were in the Pacer locker room. You were there for all the post-game press conferences. What can you tell us?
Yeah, so the Pacers took a while to come out and talk after this game. And I'm sitting there wondering how they're going to play it. Rick Carlisle comes out and plays it very cool. He purposely didn't want to do it. He took some time after the game, reviewed the last 4 minutes of tape before coming in. Miles Turner, who the foul was on, came in right after him, also took the high road, said that in the locker room after the game, he told his teammates basically to take the high road. They play it this way. Remember, in the last series, game two, Philadelphia is losing its mind over some calls at the end of the game.
Mm-hmm.
They go crazy. They're talking about filing grievances with the league. The Pacers go a different direction here. When the two-minute report comes out later today, I do believe this will be ruled a correct call.
Mm-hmm.
And also, remember, the Pacers did have a challenge and a timeout. They challenged it. They went across the river to Secaucus. In Secaucus, they agreed with the call. And the important thing, and it's not going to make anybody feel better, they're not calling that a moving screen. What they are calling is that he didn't give DiVincenzo a chance to turn, because you don't want a blind screen to hurt a guy. That's what they called. That's what they upheld in Secaucus.
That's fair. And it is going to be upheld because, again, it is probably the right call to make in the first quarter of a game in January. I'm sorry, with 15 seconds left in game one of round two between these two teams that's that close, it is a very tough call to take. And one of the standards, not that it should be, but it is a reasonable one. If that call isn't made, the Knicks don't complain about it for 1 second, and Tom Thibodeau chews out DiVincenzo for trying to sell that in a moment that he should have been playing.
Yeah, because potentially they get a clean look right there to win the game. And here's, I always take myself immediately into that player's mindset when I watch that happen, and I'm thinking to myself, there's no way that I'm upset that's not called. Nobody on my team is. The coaching staff isn't. You're not expecting that to be called.
I don't think the Knicks fans would be.
Nobody in the building will be. And today they won't be talking about it. Oh, if they just had called the moving screen on Miles Turner, they wouldn't be saying it. That's how bad this was. If something was injected into this game that absolutely would have had no bearing, really, on the outcome, other than DiVincenzo taking that tact in that moment, which is incredibly risky.
Lex, knowing Villanova basketball and the way those three played, if that had led to a bucket score by Indiana, do you know how pissed off Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart would have been in that locker room? Like, why are you doing that at that moment? Just like, you're going to tell your player, stay strong, stay firm, stay on your feet.
DiVincenzo won the last minute of the game. He sets the screen that's illegal, gets away with it, sells the screen, and hits the game-winning three.
Yeah, I hear you.
And so let's not, well, let look, if there's no way to avoid that. That's the story of the game. It just is. No one wants it to be, but it is. And I'll say it again because new audience joins us all the time. Players have bad nights. Coaches have bad nights. We believe the officials had a bad night. They didn't mean to do it. They're human beings, but it is an enormous part of the story of the game. Period. New paragraph. Jalen Brunson is ridiculous. Can we put up the two full screens on the postseason that Jalen Brunson is having, Will, when you have a minute? Because he is doing things. Look at the company that he is in. Most consecutive games with 40 points. He's got four of them in a row. Michael Jordan was the last player to do that. Bernard King did it. Only Jerry West.
By the
ever
way, the fifth game,
he
scored 39.
Yeah, that's right. He had 39 in the game before this streak started. You're exactly right. And that brings us to the next one. The company that he keeps is all by himself. This is a comprehensive list of all the players who have had 40 points and 5 assists in 4 straight playoff games. It is Jalen Brunson, and that's the end of the list. So you really can't overstate the postseason, Jay Will, that this young man is having.
That's why I said yesterday it feels very AI-like, Allen Iverson, with the amount of time the ball is in his hands to make critical plays. The starters had 118 of the team's 121 points. They got 3 points off the bench. Like, that's how pivotal all 43 of those points were in this ballgame by Jalen Brunson.
You can't say enough about how this guy is making shot after shot and moment after moment that they have to have. He's the only one that generates offense. Julius Randle's the other guy that's their offensive creator. We haven't seen him in the postseason. I mentioned earlier, you saw the possession when Josh Hart turned the ball over. They finally took the ball out of Brunson's hands, denied him back. Then Josh Hart tried to make a play off the dribble and throws it away. Let's see what Indiana decides to do going forward with risking a little bit more, maybe even giving up some open looks from the three-point line to make sure that Jalen Brunson isn't operating in this space where he is basically getting to do exactly what he wants and getting to whatever spot he dictates.
So let me point something out for the purposes of those of you perhaps on ESPN Bet who are interested in prop bets and things like that. You were telling us this morning, covering the series, that this morning the Pacers, when they get to work, are not going to be as worried about Brunson's 43 as they are about the 49 that Hart and DiVincenzo had combined. That perhaps we should be expecting Brunson to keep putting up these huge numbers because the Pacers are going to try and take the other two guys away.
And talking to Carlisle and the Pacers players after the game, I don't think that they think they can totally stop Jalen Brunson. What they don't want is to put him on the foul line 14 times, which whether it was 14 of 14, 8 of 8 in the fourth quarter, they don't want those fouls. They don't want those other two numbers from those guys being so efficient. I don't think they can stop Brunson from getting to the basket. I think we're going to see more 40-point games in this series.
The only thing missing from that last graphic they just put up there is Chris Jenkins' game winner. That's the only thing. That's the only thing missing from last night's game.
Villanova. For those of you who don't know, that's Villanova when they won the national championship with those guys.
Brian Archidiakono with the drop-off. Bang. Who, by the way, Archidiakono was on this team earlier. He was part of the trade that sent him out of town for Bogdanovich. Archidiakono left town, or else there'll be another Villanova guy on this team.
Yeah, the Villanova guys are a huge part of the story. It was a huge part of when they were in Philadelphia. So obviously advantage Knicks, but all they do is hold, serve in game one, game two tomorrow night. Very quickly, we'll have time to look ahead to it. Game two, what do you expect?
I think you're going to see some matchup changes. I think you'll see Nesmith with a higher dose on Brunson. Not saying that you're going to stop him, but you got to make him less efficient, and you have to stay home on those shooters from the perimeter.
All right, Wendy will be at practice today. I know that because he turned down golf with me because he has to be there at 2 o'clock. So you'll get all the insight for us. In the meantime, that wasn't the only massive controversy of the night. The champs are on the ropes, and they are frustrated, and their playoff hero might be suspended. What a night it was in the NBA. We will dive into all of this next. Get up on ESPN.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back on Get Up, we showed you the madness at Madison Square Garden. How about even greater madness, a mile high? Nuggets, Timberwolves.
No Rudy Gobert. He was with his family. They had their first child yesterday. Minnesota up 1-0, and they just destroyed the Nuggets at home.
So, by the way, coming up, the lack of physicality that we saw with the Knicks game, I mean, this was one of the most physical games you'll see, and this is how Minnesota plays. Every possession, they play through contact, and Denver cannot match the physicality.
Look at Anthony Edwards physical. Look at Michael Malone. He's out there like he's Earl Weaver yelling directly in the face of the official. No technical. This is in a series where Anthony Edwards got a technical for looking at someone the wrong way. Somehow Michael Malone runs out onto the floor and gets directly in the face of the official, and that's not called. Well, whatever. 5 minutes left in the half. Timberwolves are up 17, and then this happens. Here's the enormously controversial moment. Jamal Murray is having a tough night. He's over on the bench, and you see an object come flying out there. It is a heating pad. And as we will show you in a moment, that heating pad was thrown on the floor by Jamal Murray. Moments earlier, he had tried to throw a towel at an official. That got moved away. Meanwhile, the heating pad incident, no technical, nothing called. We'll get to the bottom of that in a minute. Meanwhile, the rest of the game, all legs look like this.
This was just suffocating. There's no other word for it. I've never seen a team as good as Denver look this inept offensively. They couldn't do anything on that end of the floor.
The Nuggets were never in this game. Game one was a great game that Minnesota found a way to win down the stretch. This was just a total mismatch. The road, young Timberwolves absolutely dominating the defending champs in their own building. What will become of him? All the questions. Michael Malone, talk to me.
We got our coach, we got our played. And you can feel sorry for yourself, or you can do whatever you can to try to be better come game three. And that's my focus, is rallying these guys to continue to fight.
Okay, so this one in its own way is infinitely more significant, or at least as significant as the call in the game at the Garden, or any of the calls, because this is obviously a premeditated act by Jamal Murray, as we will show you in a moment. Before he threw the heating pad on the floor, he threw a towel at the official. So this was not something that just happened out of absolutely nowhere. Here's the towel. This happened just moments before. So he throws the towel. A ball boy sees that. He doesn't know what's going on. He goes out and grabs it, which is exactly what he should do because action is going on the floor. That's the towel video. Then the heating pad gets thrown out there. You guys help me because, I mean, I've been watching the game 50 years. I've been covering it 30. Wendy, you've been covering it for almost that long. There was no call made in this circumstance. Yep. What did they explain?
They couldn't, you know, they didn't know where it came from. So the referees after the game said, had they seen Jamal Murray throw it, they would have called a technical foul on him. And the reporter clarified it, not an ejection. No, technical foul, which I didn't really know that rule. If you throw something into the stands, it's an automatic ejection. Throwing onto the stands, according to the referees, was not. So we'll see how the league adjudicates that. But I'm going to say, Jamal Murray was really, really struggling in this game, and lashing out at the officials is what they're doing because Minnesota is dominating them. And also just complete immaturity showed by Jamal, throwing the towel and then throwing the heating pad, complete loss of composure. In the second quarter, the game's not over yet. It's game two. That's worrisome. That, to me, we could talk about whether they're going to get, how they're going to penalize them. That is a grand admission that Minnesota has gotten in our head.
Yes, that I totally agree with. But, I mean, let's deal with the important piece of this. Jamal Murray is their playoff hero. He won two games with last-second shots against the Lakers. He was their star that they rode along with Jokic to a championship last year. Legs, do we expect now that they're going to have to play game three of this series on the road for all intents and purposes, playing for their lives? Are they going to have to play that game without him?
I'd be shocked if that wasn't the case, honestly, because it's a safety issue more than anything else. The worst sprained ankle I ever had as an NBA player, I stepped on a television cable that was running across the corner of the court, about the same thickness probably as that heating pad. Mm-hmm. You throw that into the lane, and it's an active game going on with four or five players in the middle of the paint, and that slides out there. Karl Anthony Towns rolls his ankle. Your own player rolls his ankle. Or they step on it. They slide out. They do something to their groin. That is why the league has to take something like this so seriously, because really disaster was avoided by nobody stepping on that and injuring themselves and impacting the series going further or potentially beyond the series if it ended up being a really serious injury.
Yeah, I would agree. I think he needs to be suspended.
I think he embarrassed himself. I think it's a horrible look for the league overall, especially today. We're not talking about as good as Minnesota is. I think they're a team that actually can win a world title. We're talking about a moment in which Jamal Murray made a poor decision, and that could affect him throughout the playoffs. I'm going to say this, though. Watching Alexander Walker and watching McDaniels, the level of physicality, how handsy they are, how that Legs did a great video in the first hour talking about Nimhart with his hands down guarding Brunson. You watch the way they guard, there's always a hand up waving at them.
Yeah.
The level of defense and how their offense is roaring, they are the best team right now in basketball. I know we haven't seen Boston play in a couple of days with Porzingis, but with Rudy Gobert not even on the court, with the way Nas Reed, with the way Kat plays, with the level of intensity from Anthony Edwards, they are that
team. They knew Gobert was going to be out, and they responded by delivering their best defensive performance of the season. That's how they responded. That is a mature response. What happened with did at Denver was an immature response.
Absolutely. And one of the unfortunate sidebars here, if you will, is that we can't really talk about Minnesota and their brilliance this morning. And that's Jamal Murray's fault. Look, I mean, I've never seen that happen. Have you ever seen a player throw an object onto the court? It is something that should just go
and
without
saying. Listen, and I had some teammates over the years that were some immature, petulant children, okay, right, that never reacted that way in the moment. No, so to answer your question, no, I've never seen anything like that. Now, you know, Jamal Murray's best defense here is to say, hey, listen, I thought Jokic needed my heating pad. You know, I think he's got something he's got to warm up. I was tossing it to him. What else can you do?
There's actually no defense.
So that one we're seeing there is the towel. But we'll roll the other one again. And the angle where you see it actually on the floor down by people's feet, watch it. One foot gets contacted and another one almost. Yes. I mean, those are two significant injuries that were averted by extraordinary luck and maybe an inch or two in both cases. The safety element of this cannot be overstated. If a fan threw something out onto the court, that fan would be thrown out and would never be allowed at an NBA arena
also,
again, and they would be right.
Protect its official. That's Mark Davis, one of the league's top five officials. Seriously, he's throwing it at Mark Davis. It ends up on the court, but he's targeting Mark Davis.
Just watch the play on the replay one last time. Karl Anthony's foot, his right foot plants.
Right.
The thing slides under. If his foot were to come down, you could talk about significant injury to a dude that had 27 points last night and plays a critical role for the Timberwolves.
Right there.
Right there. That's how close it was.
If his foot is 6 inches further back, whatever you want to call that, further up court, he's going to step right on that, and his foot is going to slide, and then whatever's going to happen is going to happen.
And before that, even KCP kicks it.
Right.
Incidentally kicks it. That could have slid under his shoe. And he slides out, and it's going out your own teammate that you've injured as well.
And I know you're covering – I lean on Wendy for everything here. You're covering Knicks Pacers, so you're obviously completely engripped in that. It is my – I believe I read that Jamal Murray did not address anyone after the game,
right?
Did not address reporters, did not say
anything. He's going to address the league today because they're obviously going to speak to him.
I mean – he's got to say something.
The only thing
that,
he can,
right?
Can he say?
How does the only thing he can
he's got to
say I'm wrong.
I'm sorry. Yeah. Sure, fine.
But he, I mean, he's got to say that last night. He's a champion.
No. The only defense he could possibly come up with is he had it in his hand and he just kind of swung his arm like,
no,
come on.
Because
and
he already threw the towel.
No, I'm not saying that's what happened, Wendy. I'm just saying you got to come up with something. You can't say I was so mad and frustrated I threw it at Mark Davis.
That's what it was. It was like a petulant.
Right, you can't be honest about it or you're definitely getting suspended.
It's going to be.
I recommend being honest.
We'll see
falling
what happens.
The mercy of the
they've.
This is one of those mornings where you think to yourself, so
I'll go with the
you want to be the commissioner of a big league? You want to be tough decisions they have to make today. Very tough decisions about that one. Game three of that series, we will have it Friday night in Minnesota. Legs will be there on the call. Much more on this controversial finish as we continue here and on the brilliance of Jalen Brunson and so much more from that series as we will continue here on a jam-packed morning. Get up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more. Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. 10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
We are back on Get Up, and again, Madison Square Garden was the scene last night for extraordinary drama and controversy. Jalen Brunson has been absolutely sensational, but here we take you to the final minute again. For those of you just getting up and didn't see it, any number of things on this play here, including Aaron Nesmith called for a kickball when he clearly touches the ball with his hand, not with his foot. It's a terrible call. It's not reviewable. And the play results in Dante DiVincenzo knocking down this three for what ultimately proved to be the game-winning points. They are the game-winning points because the Pacers down one with 10 seconds left or thereabouts get this call. Miles Turner called for the offensive foul. DiVincenzo sells it. Indiana challenges it. The call stands. We've talked about it all morning long. Jalen Brunson, 43 points. Brilliant. Tyrese Halliburton, only 6. He was awful, and the Knicks take a 1-0 lead. So look, we've been talking about the controversial calls all morning long, and we will get back to it. But let's catch our breath and actually have a basketball conversation about a basketball game. You said an interesting thing to me, and I was thinking the same thing much of the night. The pace favored the Pacers, no pun intended. For the game to be played as fast as it was, as high scoring as it is, for that game to go the Knicks' way, it feels to me like this is the way the Pacers want this series to be.
Pacers accomplished two of their major goals in this series last night. Number one, they sped the Knicks up to that pace. I didn't think the Knicks could win a game in this series played at that pace. So give the Knicks credit, and now that's a bad sign for the Pacers going forward if they didn't win a game that was played exactly to their liking. The other area, we weren't talking about the offensive rebounding all night the way that we were in the Philadelphia series, which seemed like was a major factor in every fourth quarter of the game. Indiana, and I had a number of plays I wrote down when I was taking notes that were textbook block out scenarios where they got bodies on people. Now, they got in there for some, nothing like the impact that they had in the Philadelphia series. So Indiana, actually, those are two of the big things that they're trying to get done in this series. They did both, and yet they still lost the game. So give the Knicks credit for that.
The Knicks had 8 offensive rebounds in the game, for what it's worth, and the Pacers had 7.
I think the thing that really jumped out to me was Tyrese Halliburton has to show up in big moments. First off, he took 6 shots in this game, and 5 of those 6 shots were from 3. There were times where it felt like he didn't want to shoot the ball, that he was indecisive. Even the couple of turnovers he had late, one where he got bumped off the sideline where OG stole the ball. The other was also off the high PNR in which he just threw a lazy pocket pass because he thought Miles Turner was going to roll when Miles Turner obviously popped out. For a guy that hasn't played the level of the basketball that we knew he could play since the All-Star break, This is a really big thing that you need him to show up in a big way in game two.
He had 6 points in 36 minutes. You were there covering what did he and they say about it after?
He is being bothered by back spasms. He's not really, in my view, recovered from doing the split with the hamstring injury that he had shortly after the in-season tournament. He's just not been the same player. In the last series against Milwaukee, he averaged 16 points, 9 assists. The 9 assists are good, but 16 points, this is a guy who was average, who was regularly putting up 25, 30, and they just need more from him. Look, he's not going to maybe win the Brunson matchup. Brunson's going to just get more and score more, and Tyrese is more of a playmaker than Brunson is. Brunson's going to dribble. Tyrese is going to create, but he's got to be more of a factor. The way that the Pacers can change this game around is close that gap between Brunson and Haliburton, and that's got to start. And six shots, it's got to be more than that.
Legs, all I'm going to say, everybody's injured right now.
Yeah.
Everybody's
yeah.
injured. Joel Embiid was injured. He still had multiple. Everybody has an injury. You got to play through it.
What I was going to say to you, you're right. In the Milwaukee series, he wasn't like, you know, that wasn't like in-season tournament Haliburton or even Haliburton close to his best in the regular season. But it was enough. If he gives them last night 8, 10, 12 shot attempts and gives them 15 points, they win the game. They win the game by 6-8 points if he does that. That's what was so mystifying to me. It's one thing if you say, okay, he's been dealing with this injury and limited the entire postseason. He had moments in the Milwaukee series where he still looked pretty good, and he had significant moments with his pace and playmaking. Last night, I had to be half a dozen times I made a note that why did he not shoot the ball right there? Why did he not turn the corner, get into the lane for that little one-footed push shot that he likes to take? He's like he was completely shut off in terms of his aggressiveness offensively. Really hard to overcome that from one of your best players in a big spot.
He had two made field goals and three turnovers on the night. So a terrible start to this series for Tyrese Haliburton. Meanwhile, the Villanova three, which is what the fans in New York now have fallen in love with, have been just spectacular, and they were so good in this game. Look at the numbers, but look at the numbers on the bottom. You see all the points they scored. That's great. They scored basically all of the Knicks' points last night. But look at the number underneath that. Brunson played 44 minutes. DiVincenzo played 44 minutes. Hart played 48 minutes. We saw this in the Sixers series as well. This series, there are no days off. They are going Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. They are not getting any extra days in all of this. Indiana is much deeper. Indiana got, I'm doing the math in my head, 46 points off their bench last night. The Knicks got three. So you tell me how much of a factor that is going
on. First of all, has that ever happened in a playoff game where three guys that played together in college scored 92 points? Has that ever happened in a playoff game?
So.
That's the graphic I'd like to see. What we watched last night could have been unprecedented, right, for three guys that have played together in college to do that in a postseason game, particularly when, look, Josh Hart, he's been great in his postseason run, but you're getting stuff out of Josh Hart offensively right now, that if you're Tom Thibodeau, you had no reasonable expectation to expect going into the postseason. DiVincenzo, this is by far the best year of his career offensively. You're kind of getting used to these moments. Hart, this is like additional supplemental offense that you couldn't have expected if you're Rick Carlisle or Tom Thibodeau.
How about the fatigue, though? I'm asking you, can you keep riding that? The Knicks got 3 points off their bench last night. Precious Achiuwa played 4 minutes last night. Deuce McBride and Mitchell Robinson played about 11 each, call it. And that's it. I mean, their starting five played the entire night. The other team, the Pacers are deep. Can the Knicks keep that
up? I mean, the one thing I know about college basketball and Villanova basketball is that they never show any signs of weakness or being tired. Those dudes just keep playing. I mean, Josh Hart last night had 13 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds as well. DiVincenzo, we're going to talk about the shot. He also was one of the main guys guarding Tyrese Haliburton. He did a hell of a job defensively, too. So I think, yes, you can ride those minutes, I think, until you get to the Eastern Conference Finals against Boston.
Third time already in this postseason, Josh Hart's played a full game.
Yeah, man.
And there's more coming. And so it will be interesting. Indiana 46-3 in bench scoring last night. 46-3, and they lost. That's amazing. This game was an outlier in a lot of different ways.
Great point on the call last night. They referenced Josh Hart and said this might be the most highly conditioned athlete in the league. I think they might be right. Because to be able to play with that level of intensity for 48 minutes with that kind of physicality in a game and still be making the hustle plays and beating everybody to every ball.
Also has one-year-old twins.
Yeah.
So that
wow.
keeps you in
yeah, wow.
even more significant. Than
he has 20. He has three 20.10 rebound games this postseason, most by a Knick in this millennium. It has been since 1999 that anyone did that last in that game. By the way, we mentioned the bench differential. The Knicks bench was outscored by 43 points. That's tied for the largest bench scoring deficit in a game one win. The last time it happened was 1971. So many storylines here. We will get back to the controversial stuff last night because, unfortunately, those are the primary storylines. But before we get to that, let's get to this. Wake-up call. What a day for the Bruins' Brandon Carlo. His son was born in the morning, and then at night, Bob Wischusen called him doing this.
Frederick in a race with Forsling. Forsling sweeps. Coyle follows up. Coyle has it. Finds the trailer. Shot. Score! Carlo, the new dad! What a 24 hours it's been for Brandon Carlo. He gives the Bruins the 3-1 lead.
Carlo and the Bruins take game one. We'll have game two tomorrow night on ESPN 7:30 Eastern, followed by game one Oilers Canucks. Coverage begins with a point at 6 Eastern on ESPN2 and ESPN Plus. What a time in the world of sports. Okay, I'm going to take a quick break. I'm being told that Draymond Green on his podcast has commented on what Jamal Murray did last night and has given his opinion on what should happen. We will hear that together next. We will also hear this. Wendy, he dreads this. Head-to-head with Hembo.
I'm not good at trivia.
You got it, Wendy. You got a team behind you.
Over the last 30 years, who's the only MVP player to win MVP, which Jokic probably will, to be swept out of the playoffs in the same season as Jokic might be? What's the only time that's happened in the last 30 years? The answer next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I wish you could have seen the amount of thinking that has gone into this. I have been trying so hard to get the attention of these three because we have all kinds of things planned for this segment. And these guys are racking their brains. So here's the question. Jokic is probably going to win MVP. He's now in significant danger of getting swept in the same season. Over the last 30 years, who is the only player to win MVP and be swept in the same season? Guys, you're thinking it through like crazy.
I can't remember who Jokic lost to the year he won his first MVP.
Well, I think it's Jokic. I was saying it before.
We're also trying to remember who Westbrook lost to that year with Oklahoma City. I just can't remember who they lost to in the playoffs.
Can't remember the tip. I think it's Jokic.
You going with Jokic?
I'll go with Jokic because I got three entries.
The correct answer is Nikola Jokic.
Yes! Let's go!
The committee of three.
Get off me, Himbo!
I mean, literally, if you had seen me try,
I was out. You know what? I'm glad we got that right because I'm so tired of watching Greeny.
Yeah,
do this.
It's so studious.
Do this. No,
take this one.
Oh, yeah. Oh, kinesiology. We were going for kinesiology. Oh, yeah, that was the right answer.
Yes, sir. You're right. Well done. There's a correct answer.
Yes, Jay Will.
Nikola Jokic.
And Wendy.
I have been.
I wasn't sure.
It's like herding cats trying to get these three guys together during the trivia break. So I'm glad you got it right so we accomplished that. In the meantime, let's accomplish this. Draymond Green on his podcast this morning, commenting on the enormous controversy from Denver last night. Once again, that's Jamal Murray throwing a heating pad out onto the floor, perhaps aiming it at the referee, Mark Davis, with whom he had a significant quarrel in the moment. The Nuggets were getting blown out, and he was having a very bad night. It is a dangerous act, unquestionably. Draymond Green, who is no surprise to these kinds of things or no stranger to these kinds of things, had this to say this morning.
I was just online, and I see people are like, oh, Jamal Murray's probably going to get suspended for throwing the heat pack. I mean, I didn't think he'd get suspended, although that was very dangerous. Somebody step on that A, it leaves a West by B, can really jack somebody up. But I didn't see that and be like, my first thought wasn't, he gets suspended. It's crazy how people just automatically start calling for suspensions these days. I just don't really understand that. But in saying that, man, Denver down bad right now.
Okay. Anyone?
My sound was cutting in and out the whole time. I'm sorry. I didn't hear a lot of
it. It's crazy what people are calling for suspensions these days.
Well, yeah. With all due respect, Draymond is going to be he's disallowed involved in this situation. Also, Draymond generally, if there's an opportunity to go against Rudy Gobert, no matter how obscure, he will go against
Rudy Gobert wasn't even there last night. They had a baby yesterday morning, and he didn't make it back for the game, and they still dominated them defensively.
Rudy.
Congratulations to the Goberts. That said, what did you think of what Draymond said?
I'm with you. I'm with Draymond to this point when watching the game. When you don't really see it, I heard them talk about it. You're like, okay. But then when you see the replay, and then when you see it over and over and over again, it is a very egregious thing when you see the level that it could have caused harm-wise. And when do we ever talk about players throwing things on the court from the sideline? We never discuss this.
You said you'd be shocked if he's not suspended.
Yeah.
I will not be shocked. I am interested to see what happens. I genuinely do not know what's going to happen because of the lack of precedent.
So I can throw things on the court?
Yeah, that's
what I'm saying.
What do you mean lack of
precedent? If you don't suspend him for this, the precedent you're setting going forward, I mean, how could you ever suspend anybody for throwing any object? Not that a player would, because this goes so far above and beyond anything any player could ever consider.
Yeah, Jay Will just threw a book out there because he wants
Roger
you to
Maris.
Fall
no
over
repercussions.
It.
Yeah, we'll be
I'm
back
fine.
On the air tomorrow.
I'm fine.
I have great respect.
We'll
I have great respect for Draymond Green.
Yeah.
I could not disagree with him more.
Agreed.
Certain things do rise to the level of suspension. In the middle of a playoff series, I think that you should have the highest possible threshold.
Yes.
The last thing in the world you want to do is suspend an important player or any player during a playoff series. I fully agree with that part of it.
Yeah.
But if you don't suspend a player for purposefully throwing an item onto the court during play that could unbelievably easily have hurt someone, it is a reckless and dangerous act, then I'm not sure what would be suspensionable.
I think one of the things here is that he's throwing it at the referee.
That's not better.
I mean, that's not better. But I'm saying,
excuse it, though.
I know, but the act, you've got to protect your referee. Yes, you're protecting the players, obviously. You picked the players 100 different ways. The act of throwing it at the referee is probably what might put it over the top. Because you got to protect the referees. You got to.
I think it's a combination of both, protecting the referee, and then by circumstance, since he was throwing it at the referee, it lent into level play. I mean, that's
yeah.
it.
I mean, and look, let's take what Draymond said with a grain of salt, too. Okay, he got an indefinite suspension for the play against Nurkic.
Right.
And he tried to say that he was just jostling for position in the post.
Yeah.
When he turned around and threw a wheelhouse that hit him in the side of the head. So this is Draymond's interpretation of that act. I'm sorry, it doesn't carry a lot of weight in this discussion. It just doesn't. You're not going to tell me, what are you going to believe, you or my lying eyes? That is, there's no better summation than what you just said. Reckless and dangerous, and I don't know how the league ignores this when you have now games to be played going forward in the precedent that you're setting.
So
I don't want it to happen, but I don't
think about what we know the intention is, okay? So let's say Jamal Murray has a towel, because the first thing he throws is a towel, and we can show you that as well. We have all morning long. He tries to throw like a balled up towel from the bench at the official, again, the crew chief Mark Davis, right there. So he throws it from behind. It doesn't wind up hitting him. One might say no harm, no foul. But I wouldn't say that. If he walks up to him and as walking off the court and sort of chucks a towel in his face, which it's really not that different from doing, if you're throwing a towel at him from the bench, if he chucks a towel in his face, he's getting ejected immediately, right? So the fact that he wasn't ejected, I think, actually works against the Nuggets, because they're already getting killed in this game. They were out of this game almost immediately. If he was ejected for this, then we probably just move on. But because they didn't, and again, you can explain what they, how they explained that afterwards, now they have to adjudicate it after the fact, and game three becomes in jeopardy.
Yeah, so Mark Davis was interviewed afterwards in a pool report. He said they didn't see it. Obviously, he's got his back to it. You're not keeping an eye on the end of the bench.
Right.
Because they didn't see it, they didn't call a foul. But had they seen it, it would have been a technical. And the reporter asked, not an ejection? No, a technical. And that was That answer was given, but reviewed. So I just want to point out that an official from the league said it wasn't an ejection.
Was that answer for the towel, or was it for
the heating pad on the floor?
Which one was
honestly,
it for?
I don't think they knew about the towel. The towel video I didn't see until this morning.
Well, that's so now you're a multiple offender, right? So it was the towel and the heating pad.
And again,
you're telling me that throwing objects onto the court is going to be a technical foul going forward?
That's, the game, that's what he said on the record.
Yeah, no, I hear you. If that's what they're saying.
He was the guy that was getting thrown at.
And if the league backs that stance, man, I guess all bets are off.
Well, I'm just saying, before he gives that pool report,
right,
he consults with the league.
Right.
I mean, so just so you know, I'm not saying he's not going to be suspended. I'm just saying, so that you know, the league has made a comment on this, and the comment was it should have been a technical, not an ejection. Just so you know.
It is... There were so many pieces of this that I'm not sure I understand. This happens early enough in the game that someone could have then seen it. I understand that Mark Davis, who is facing the other way, doesn't see it. But someone in Secaucus or elsewhere sees that this happened.
They saw it on the broadcast.
That's what I'm saying.
On the broadcast.
And so they could have got, they adjudicate things after the fact all the time.
Of course they saw it.
Right.
While I don't know exactly, my educated understanding is that before there's a pool report, there's a communication between the league and the referee.
Right.
And the referee makes that statement. The league is not surprised by what it sees in the pool report. I just want you to have the full understanding of that while you call for the, not you, but anyone could call for an assistance.
I'm telling you what I expect. Take us through what will happen now. What exactly are the mechanics? Game three, they have an extra day,
Jamal
right?
Jamal Murray is going to have to.
It'll play till Friday.
They have a bunch of days.
Three days off.
Until Friday. Right.
Three days off.
So there's a lot of time off in this series. So they don't have to make a decision today or whatever. Take us through the mechanics of what will happen now.
The league will interview Jamal Murray, and they will ask him what the heck happened here. And I would advise him to tell the truth because a bad lie is not going to help him. But then they will meet amongst themselves, and this could rise. This is going to land in Joe Dumars' lap, and this is something that Adam Silver potentially could weigh in. But Joe Dumars is going to decide in the next 24 to 48 hours what to do about this after speaking with Jamal Murray. I'll tell you what, Jamal Murray better have an explanation, and it better not be a fake one, because again, more than the player safety, which is obviously a concern, he is targeting the official.
I agree.
And that is a big
okay. issue. And if he's honest about that, he's 100% getting suspended. Oh, I was trying to throw the heat pack at Mark Davis.
I don't think it's 100%. It's something less than 100%.
By the way, the other night he was 3-for-18. I'm not shocked he missed Mark Davis with the heat pack.
Can we just state for the record, nobody wants Jamal Murray to be suspended.
Of course not.
Of course
not.
To see him.
I'm calling a damn game. I want to see the best game possible. I don't want him to see him suspended.
But the fact that it's happened twice.
Right.
And by the way, if that sets the precedent, I can throw anything on the court during any game, in particular, time and situation, a playoff game, that sets the wrong precedent for the league.
Can I ask another question? With or without Jamal Murray, and we don't know yet what will happen, and assume that Rudy Gobert will be back for Friday night. And again, is this series over?
Yes.
The Timberwolves are definitively the better team through two games, right?
Never underestimate the heart of a champion.
Right.
With the MVP.
Okay.
Obviously, Minnesota has been awesome. This is the first time.
I'm going to underestimate them, though, Wendy. I've never seen a defending champion get waxed like that with the level of effort that they did not
give. I have a great respect for the Denver Nuggets.
I do too.
And the Timberwolves.
The first half of that game was one of the biggest mismatches I can ever recall seeing in a big spot a playoff game, particularly against a great team, which Denver is. To me, what summed up the whole night, you and I were talking about this. At one point, they slowed down, super slow mo replay of Nikhil Alexander Walker picking up Jamal Murray full court, and he had turned him already three times by the time he got to half court. And on the last one, he was squared up to him, and he was smiling and almost laughing at Jamal Murray as he cut him off one last time at half court. That told me exactly where Minnesota is mentally in this series.
I'm out of time, unless I can negotiate another hour from Stephen A., because we have a lot more to do. But Steve is ready. First Take is coming up next. What was the biggest story last night? Jalen Brunson or the refs? Should Jamal Murray be suspended? They're into all of it. First Take, Molly, Stephen A., Shannon, Legs, Wendy, and more. Top of the hour. Don't miss it on ESPN. Great night of hockey coming your way. NHL Draft Lottery, 6:30 Eastern, followed by Hurricanes, Rangers, and then Avs and Stars. It all starts with the point, 6 Eastern on ESPN2. Unbelievable day. Guys, thank you. Thank you for getting up with us. Wendy will be getting all the insight at practices today. First Take starts now.